So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, text number 45. Yes? 45? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Na, not, Srota, the listener. Na, not, Anuvakta, the speaker. Mahan, the great. Ashu, life air. Ya, he who, to, but, iha, in this body. Indriyavan, possessing all the sense organs. Atma, the soul. Shaha, he, cha, and. Anya, different. Prana dehayo, from the life air and the material body. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace of Bhaicharanada in the Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In the body, the most important substance is the life air. But that also is neither the listener nor the speaker. Beyond even the life air, the soul also can do nothing, for the super soul is actually the director in cooperation with the individual soul. The super soul conducting the activities of the body is different from the body and the living force. Please repeat. In the body, the most important substance is the life air. But that is also neither the listener nor the speaker. Beyond even the life air, the soul also can do nothing. For the super soul is actually the director. In cooperation with the individual soul. The super soul conducting the activities of the body is different from the body and the living force. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead distinctly says in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Sarvashtachaham hiriti shani vishto mataha smritiru gyanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Although the Atma, or the soul, is present in every material body, dehi no svim jaha dehi, he is not actually the chief person acting through the senses, mind, and so on. The soul can merely act in cooperation with the super soul because it is the super soul who gives him directions to act or not to act. Mataha smritir gyanam apanoham cha. One cannot act without his sanction. For the super soul is upadrashta and anumanta, the witness and the sanctioner. One who carefully studies under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master can understand the real knowledge that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually the conductor of all the activities of the individual soul and the controller of their results as well. Although the individual soul possesses the indras or senses, he is not actually the proprietor, for the proprietor is the supersoul. Consequently, the supersoul is called Hrishikesha, and the individual soul is advised by the direction of the supersoul to surrender to him and thus become happy. Sarvadanam pariyaja mamekam sharanam braja. Thus he can become immortal and be transferred to the spiritual kingdom, where he will achieve the highest success of an eternal blissful life of knowledge. In conclusion, the individual soul is different from the body, senses, living force, and the airs within the body. And above him is the super soul, who gives the individual soul all facilities. The individual soul who renders everything to the Supreme lives very happily in this world. Om Agyan Smirandasya Jananjanan Shalakayota Churamanitandina Tasmai Shri Yavinaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garatha Shri Bhashari Gaur Bhaktapinda Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Ram Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari. So here, discussing about who is actually the doer of activities. It really appears like when I perform an activity, I am the doer. I am the hearer, I am the enjoyer of the results, or I sometimes suffer the results. It's a very strong identification that I am the doer, but so many times Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that one who thinks he's the doer is an illusion. Actually, Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur says the living entity is the doer, in the sense of it's his desires that are being enacted. His desires are the cause of activity. If he didn't have a desire, there would be no activity. So his desiring is the cause of activity. So Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur said that the living entity is the doer, in the aspect of manifesting the desire. Nothing will happen without desire. But anyway, it's so strong, and we're hearing all the time how Krishna is sitting in the heart as a super soul. We should surrender to him. It's a super soul who's actually doing everything. He's the witness, the sanctioner. In the second canto, second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada describes how you can actually understand the super soul by analysis, etc. But he said even a common man can actually understand him by analytical study, etc., understanding that first I'm not the body. I have arm, leg, I don't say I hand, I head, I body, I leg, I toe. We say my, we're identifying my. So therefore we come to the conclusion that my or I am different from the, from the senses. I'm different from the senses. So we'll come to that conclusion by studying and meditation. Who am I? Am I this head? Am I this one? Then ultimately we'll come to understand, yes, from authority, that yes, the soul, I am the soul in the body, I am the real person. So Krishna is there to fulfill the desires. The example Prabhupada also gives from the Shvetashvara Upanishad, I think, or Katha Upanishad. Two birds are in the tree, two parrots. One is eating all the fruits of the tree. He's enjoying. The other one, he's not eating. He's just witness. So the eating bird, that is considered the soul. He's trying to eat the fruits of his activities, enjoy the fruits of his activities. And the witnessing bird is a super soul. He's not taking part in these activities for himself, but he's simply sanctioning it. So, just as if the bird, the parrot, is quite happy thinking I'm enjoying this fruit, so similarly we are also thinking that I'm quite happy here enjoying the fruits of different activities. Prabhupada, he says, so we come to that point of understanding it, that I'm not the body. The body, and the senses are different from me. But then he becomes dissatisfied with his limited state of existence. If I'm not this body, how can I express myself? What can I do without the body? I'm not the body, but what can I do without the body? So then we realize our limited state of existence. So we come to the conclusion that somebody must be in control, and it's definitely not me. I can't do anything. I'm really, really bound up here in this. Well, even though I'm not part of I'm not the senses, I'm not the body, but still I can't express myself in any way practically. I can't move. So there must be another controller. So who is that? So then we come to conclude, must be the super soul, because it's definitely not me. But everything is revolving around me and my activities. It's definitely not me, so there must be the super soul. So then he said he comes to that, but then you can actually surrender to the super soul. He said, so even a common man can actually understand how the super soul is existing by analytical study. And realization. And in fact, it's realization. You, at any given point in your day, you suddenly stop and contemplate that I'm actually not the doer of activities, but the super soul is the doer. I am simply desiring to do something, but I can't fulfill that desire. But Krishna is there. He's the witness. He's seeing my desire. So Krishna instructs Maya Devi, this particular person, he wants to perform this particular activity. And the activity is under the jurisdiction of Maya Devi. She's the big moving principle here in this material world. But she acts in accordance to the super soul. Chaiva Durga, the verse in the Srimad Brahma Samhita. Chaiva Durga. Durga is the material energy, the reflection of the spiritual potency. And it says that she is always subservient and subordinate to the Lord. Therefore, she is executing the will of creation, destruction, and all the activities that go on within the universe according to the will of Govinda. So she's the big mover here. But she moves under the will of Govinda. So what do we do anyway in the body? So I'm simply desiring to do something. That's all I can do. I simply desire to do it. And then Krishna sanctions it. He instructs Maya Devi to start moving everything. So like every little thing we do, we can understand ultimately it's super soul who is doing it. He's not personally doing it. His energy does it, but he sanctions it and he witnesses. He gives the results. He gives the activity. He gives the results according to our karmas also. So, yeah, you stop any one given point in the day and just contemplate your position and the position of the super soul. And often you find, oh, I'm all tensed up. If Krishna's doing it, the super soul, why do I have to worry? It's not. I'm working hard and I get tensed up and all this stress management, stress, is a big thing on stress. But it's a fact, in the material world we're always stressed. But if you contemplate for a few moments, you're not actually the doer, so why are you kind of stressed? And you immediately feel, that stress goes. You check it out, it works. You find you're always in this stress. But when you understand what's happening, the super soul is actually sanctioning the activities and material nature is performing the activities. Well, then why have to work hard? Why am I struggling if I don't do anything? So you can feel it. Immediately the stress goes, you become relaxed. And of course, the next few moments you may get into something and identify with it and you're totally absorbed in it. But anyway, Prabhupada said, even a common man can understand by contemplation. So, I mean, we're reading again, here again, Satchitananda, the living entity will be happy. We're always reading our blissful Krishna consciousness is our... But the idea is we have to experience, we're supposed to experience that blissfulness. Otherwise it's just a word. We're always hearing every page of Satchitananda. But it's an action experience, otherwise it will just remain a word. So when one actually is awakened, that's a blissful state of life. So it can be right now, why we are living in this state of existence, this conditioned state of existence where we're totally bound, we can't do anything. When we can have consciousness in full freedom, if we, as Prabhupada said, if we surrender to Krishna, surrender to the super soul. And then it's, then one gets immediately peace of mind. Why I'm disturbed? If I'm not the doer and I'm not the enjoyer of my activities, why am I often get disturbed? So that all goes away. It's Krishna's in charge of everything. So beyond the anxiety and distress of the material world, it's actually the soul is in a blissful state of Krishna consciousness. That's your original nature of the soul, by blissful nature. So when one surrenders to Krishna and depends on Krishna for everything, then he becomes very peaceful in this world. We've heard of peace of mind, but to actually get peace of mind is also difficult. Peace of mind is not even spiritual, it's just a byproduct of becoming spiritual. But it's so beautiful to have peace of mind. Prabhupada said, if people realize how the joy of peace of mind, if they could realize how beautiful it is, there's nothing to compare with in this material world. It's a fact. If you're living in this world and you're not happy, what worse thing is there? If you're not happy in this world. So we should be happy. That's worth all the treasures of earth, to be happy. And if we lose our happiness, then we realize that everything is useless. I'll give you everything I got for a little bit of peace of mind, one poet said. Prabhupada said they don't realize it, but if your mind is peaceful, you realize it's no greater happiness. It's far greater than all the happiness that we're chasing after with our eyes, nose, belly, genitals, and trying to enjoy this material world. Just have peace of mind when you're not doing it. That's far, far greater than the happiness derived from the senses in contact with the sense objects. But people just don't know. They just don't know peace of mind. It's a standard normal. I've got to be in anxiety. I've got to have some worries. But Prabhupada said, you won't find a greater happiness. And this is not spiritual life, peace of mind. It's the beginning. But that comes automatic. That's a byproduct. peace of mind. Shantaras. At least you're connected. You're connected with spirit. It's Shantaras. It's peaceful. This is what the Shantabhaktas want, peace of mind. But at least you've got connection. At least you've got peace of mind. Another thing is this is the goal of the Gyanis actually. They want this. They want this peace of mind. This is them. No more material passion, goodness, and ignorance moving and disturbing anymore. It's been subdued. You've risen above the modes of material nature. Nice Trigun Babajun, above the ocean of Satyagun Rajagun. It's like a always activity rushing. Everyone's in anxiety. Facts, you know. But above that ocean, it's completely tranquil, completely pure. So this is the goal of the Gyanis, to get to that position. Peace of mind, understand their eternal nature, an eternal atmosphere. In that position, the Gyanis really love this. You get instant karma. What you desire, practically becomes immediately fulfilled. Because you're out of the modes of material nature. It's called Satya Sankalpa. Krishna has this city, and we're part and parcel of Krishna. Whatever Krishna desires immediately becomes manifest. Now we desire something, but we've got to wait a long time. That desire is going to... We perform an activity that goes back into the karmic cycle, and again that reaction goes into the karmic cycle, and again it'll take a long time, it'll come again. And then if we entertain it, it'll go back again. If we reject it, then it'll dissolve back into the total mind bank or whatever. But it's beautiful. It's a beautiful state of existence. You desire something and it happens. Naturally you're happy. So the Gyanis love this. This is the position as instant karma. Whatever you desire becomes. Then you have to understand the hand of God in everything, because I'm desiring and it's happening. I can see it more clearly now. In the conditioned state, we've got to wait for a long time before that desire, it goes back into the heart, comes out as a seed and starts to grow and becomes fructified again. It takes a long time, so you don't see how it's actually happening. But when it's instant, well, I was just thinking that, it disappeared. So then you can understand how the hand of God is there. It's not me doing this. It's happening, isn't it? So then that's the blissful state of existence you're living in. Beautiful. It's what we want. Everybody wants that beautiful state of consciousness. And it's right here, right now. But it's covered, and we're still accepting and rejecting the modes of material nature as they're coming. That's all. But we hear about it, but... Yeah, so damn clever. This husband and wife team, the Super Soul and Durga Devi, how they conduct this material energy. You never get one moment to break. They're so expert. He's bound up hand and foot. So anxiety. Are you anxious for your next breath? Hold your breath for a little while. Are you anxious for your next breath? So Prabhupada said, if you're anxious even for your next breath, it's a material attachment. Yeah, we've got to have it. Otherwise we're going to die if we don't. But it's a material attachment, because as it says here, I'm not the life air. The life air is the most important function in the body. Because when we say the life air is gone, then the person is so-called dead. So it's the most important function. It's the life air. But I'm not dependent on the life air. But I think I am. The body is dependent on the life air, but I'm not dependent on the life air. So see our attachment, see our anxiety. We're anxious for that next breath. Just by being in the material world, it's a place of anxiety, Krishna says again and again. If we want our next breath, that means we're anxious, we're in anxiety. But the soul doesn't need a breath. It doesn't need a body. It doesn't need anything, any of these things. It doesn't need senses. That we're always chasing after. I want. Raja Dvesha. Chasing after this. Attachment and aversion. I like it, I don't like it. I like it, I don't like it. That's all that goes on in this material world. I like it, I don't like it. Prabhupada said three little words. Keep you bound up in this material world. Who knows? I like it. These three little words keeps everybody bound up in this material world, chasing after. So Raja Dvesha, attachment and aversion, this is what's happening in this material world. I have a desire, if it's becoming manifested through that seed form, it starts to, then the super soul instructs Maya Devi, this desire is coming up, it's ready to be, create the situation, fulfill this desire. Then Maya Devi creates a situation exactly, or almost exactly like you want it, and then that is presented for you, that picture is presented for you by Maya Devi. And then we say, I like it or I don't like it. And generally we like it. If it's coming from... Anyway, intelligence gives a little bit of help and tells of the last, indicates the last experience we had in this situation. Was it good or was it bad? And the intelligence says, no, it's good. We enjoyed the senses. So, okay, then I'll accept it. And if the intelligence says, no, we had a bad experience, then the intelligence... then we reject it. I don't want to reject it. But that's all that's happening. Maya is presenting a sense object for the senses, and we are saying, do I like it or I don't like it? If I like it, I'll accept it. If I don't like it, I won't. That's all that goes on in this material world, since time immemorial. That's all we've been doing. I like it, I don't like it. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, now here is the supreme decision for every human. He must come to this point as a human to make this decision. What am I going to do about this I like and I don't like business? This attraction and... am I going to spend the rest of my existence doing exactly the same thing? Or am I going to make some program and... this is the question that everybody should ask as human being. Am I going to continue like this? I like, I don't like, accept and reject? Or am I going to do something about it? When you make up your mind to do something about it, he said, then the holy name will have some meaning. Now it's very vague. Krishna's name, we're trying to reach Krishna, is very, very vague. Because we can't see Krishna yet. Because we're still identifying, I like, I don't like, I... but the moment we give up that, now what does Krishna like? What Krishna doesn't like, this becomes my consciousness. Then he said, then the holy name will have some meaning. Then you'll get, something tangible will happen. The holy name will give some revelation. Because you've stopped desiring to enjoy materially. I like, I don't like. Where is the space for Krishna in your heart? If in my heart the only thing is there, I like it, I don't like. Where is the space for Krishna to come? But when we, what does Krishna like? What does Krishna do? Then there is a space. Then the holy name will start to manifest these different opulences. Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela. You will feel the presence of God. The Holy Name will manifest His form. He will manifest His qualities. He will manifest His pastimes. But if we're on the platform of I like it, I don't like it, it's not going to happen. Because this is the material world. This is what happens in the material world. Krishna doesn't belong here. So we can make that decision. I like that. There was one devotee here, and he said he wants to come to Mayapur, he just wants to chant. That's all. So he was chanting here. He had a little hut, maybe a jute stick hut. About big enough to lie down, bus. That's all, he could lay down in it. And he was there, he was chanting whole day. Out by the Goshala. Many devotees were going to see him. They were telling me, he seems like really advanced devotee, you know. He's actually chanting, tears are coming from his eyes, and he's... They told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, very good. If you can sit down and chant Hare Krishna, tears come from your eyes, that's perfect. Very, very good. Anyway, one time he came to see Prabhupada in his room, and he said, Srila Prabhupada, that I've got this little jute stick house, 6 foot by 6 foot, but every day I have to sweep it, and it's taking time to sweep it. How long does it take to sweep it? 6 by 6 foot. It takes me some time to sweep, and it's interfering with my bhajan. So I don't like to live in the house, but I like to live up in the tree. Then I won't have to spend time sweeping my house, and I can do my bhajan all day. So I don't like to live in the house. I like to live up in it. And Prabhupada said, the moment you say I like or I don't like, it's sense gratification. He burst the whole bubble. I like, I don't like. So, here it says, now Krishna is the witness of everything. He sees everything first. Then we can see. It's just like in the Vishwarupa. Lord Krishna, He manifests the form of the Vishwarupa and the universal form. So He wants to see. Then the eyes become manifest and sunshine becomes manifest, because you can't see without light. Light becomes manifest, fire. Then you can see. But first Krishna had to see, then you can see. Krishna what desire to hear, the universal form desire to hear. So the ears become manifested and sound. And then the demigods in charge of the ears, the Ashwini Kumaras. They're in the ears or nose? Ashwini Kumaras? They're demigods in charge of the nose or nostrils or the... I think nostrils. Anyway, the demigods in charge of that function also, they also develop the sense of smell, say. Why? Because the Vishwarupa desired to smell. Then his nose and the air and scent become manifested so he could smell. And the demigod, I think it's Ashwini Kumaras, so they're empowered, the demigods are empowered, so we are smelling. Where we get our smelling power from is from these devatas. They're in charge of the universal management. So we have to smell because we got a nose. So there's demigods in charge. So they give us the smelling power, the ability to... It's their potency, but they give it to the living entities. So now we can smell. But the reason we're smelling is because Krishna desired to smell first. So everything in this material world, Krishna does first, and then we do secondly. So as the Vishwarupa, he desires all these things: see, smell, touch, taste, etc. Now we have the ability to see, touch, smell, taste. That's as the Vishnu is manifest. Now as the super soul manifestations, even it becomes more fine. That you want to see something. It's a glass. Spectacle. Now how do I know it's a spectacle? Because Krishna says, I'm sitting in everyone's heart, from me come remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. So I remember this was a spectacle because Krishna reminded me it was a spectacle. Otherwise a living entity is forgetful by nature. He reminds me, spectacle. Okay, I'm going to put it on. I'm going to put on the spectacle. So he reminds me it's a spectacle. And then he's dictating to material energy, put the spectacle on. So Maya is actually doing the activity of putting. I'm thinking I'm doing it, but actually it's Maya doing it under the dictation of Krishna, of the Super Soul. So then the activities become. But everything we do, first Krishna has to. So he sees it. He sees it and he reminds you. I don't know what your name is. If I forget, Krishna will tell me. I do what your name is. Keshavi Devi Dasi. How did I know that? Krishna reminded me. Otherwise, I'm forgetful. Prachanda Prabhu. Krishna reminded me. I see your smiling face. And Krishna reminded me. That's Prachanda. Otherwise, I wouldn't know. Before we do everything, he sees. He sees. Yeah. I am seated in everyone's heart. From me come remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. Sometimes we forget something. I'm very forgetful. Get old. Someone was saying, wherever did I put my glasses? Oh, here they are. This old age. Here they are. So that forgetfulness, where did that come from? It came from Krishna. He caused you to forget. But these are symptoms. Old age is coming. So it's all a symptomatic. Old age is coming. Do something about it. Look, you're getting the warnings now. Do something about it. But that's the position, our position and Krishna's position here. So we can't do anything without the sanction of the Lord, it says. So in all of our seeing, hearing, etc. In the body the most important substance is the life air, but that also is neither the listener nor the speaker. Because the life air is there, but there's no jiva in the life air, it's still element, material element. So therefore the jiva is superior than all of even the life air, because the jiva is conscious. Life air is not actually conscious, it's functioning. But beyond the life air, the soul also cannot do nothing, for the super soul is the actual director in cooperation with the individual soul. So we simply have a desire, that's all we can do. We desire something and Krishna will carry it out. Now, what type of desire? That's up to you, that's up to me. You want a material desire or you want a Krishna conscious desire? That's up to you. Krishna's not going to interfere with your independence. But if you have Krishna conscious desire, he will fulfill it. And if you have another one, he'll fulfill that. And if you never stop desiring, he will never stop fulfilling that spiritual desire. And the opposite way also, if you want sense gratification, he'll fulfill it. If you want more, he will fulfill it. If you want to go on forever, he'll go on forever fulfilling your desire. The choice is up to us. Krishna is not going to interfere with our minute independence. He is supreme independent, as been pointed out here. We are particle of Krishna, so we have a particle of independence. And how we use that, Krishna is not going to interfere. Whether we misuse it or we use it properly, Krishna's not going to interfere. But we know what Krishna wants. Here, sarvadhanam parityajamamikam. That's Krishna's desire. Krishna that's Krishna's desire. That's what he wants, that we surrender to him. That he makes very, very clear. So if we do that, if we abide by Krishna's desire, or how desire is dovetailed into Krishna's desire, that is Krishna consciousness. And as long as it remains dovetailed in Krishna, if we can stay like that forever, then we're going to meet, very quickly achieve this platform, eternality, blissful consciousness that we're reading again and again. Otherwise they're going to remain words only. If we don't put everything into action in Krishna consciousness, it's all going to remain words. We just heard these words, and if there's no taste, it doesn't become a bit dry. But you put it into practice, and again you practice, and again the mind goes off and you bring it back, and again it goes off and you bring it back. Wherever it goes to its flickering nature, one must immediately bring it back to the control of the self, Krishna says. Mind is your greatest friend or your greatest enemy. This is our main business in sadhana, sadhana bhakti practicing. Our main business of all the sadhana is to bring the mind back to where it goes. If it's going to an unfavorable place, bring it back. It goes away again. Bring it back. It goes away. Bring it back. Prabhupada said, one who has mastered this art, one who has mastered this art, he becomes blissful. Becomes blissful. So we want that blissful existence. What's the problem? The mind is the greatest enemy, because he's going where he's not supposed to be going. So our main business, bring the mind back. Again it will go, bring it back. To Krishna, to the philosophy, to the name, to whatever. Savor. Somehow or another, don't let the mind wander off, as it's been doing since time immemorial. How many billions and billions and billions of births have we had? Riding on the Manoratha, the chariot of the mind. 8,400,000 species, how many times again? Doing exactly the same thing. So it's up to us to make that choice to become Krishna conscious. We have that independence, Krishna's given it. And so therefore Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness can take one moment or it can take many lifetimes. So Krishna's given us that minute independence, and he's not going to interfere with it. Yeah, so anyway, so here he's pointing out how the super soul is the doer of everything. The Supreme Personality of Godhead distinctly says in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Savashishahami Yiti Shani Vishto Matashmiti Chavanampa. I am seated in everyone's heart. From me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. And from me, I am the knower of the Vedas, the compiler of the Vedas, and I am to be known through Vedanta. This is 15:15, three sloki Gita, very important Gita, three slokas, called the Chin Sloki Gita, or three sloki Gita. I am the compiler of Vedanta, knower of Vedanta, and because I know Vedanta, Arjuna, I will tell you the conclusion of Vedanta. Vedanta means conclusion. I will tell you the conclusion because I am the compiler and I am the knower. Now I will explain to you the conclusion. That there are two classes of person in this world. One is liberated and one is conditioned. One is fallible and one is infallible. Prabhupada uses these words. The fallible and the infallible. The infallible are those who are conditioned in this material energy. The infallible, those who are liberated. But they're both Brahman. We are conditioned Brahman and they get a liberated Brahman. two types of Brahman are there. One liberated Brahman, one conditioned Brahman. And then, besides these two, there is that Supreme Lord who enters into this material world and he maintains them. So that is the super soul. So he's superior than the conditioned Brahman and the liberated Brahman. And then Krishna says, because I am beyond, this is Krishna speaking. First the super soul enters and maintains all the worlds of these two, the conditioned Brahman and the liberated Brahman. You have two Brahmans, then the Brahman or the Parabrahman, Paramatma, he enters into the world, he maintains. Then Krishna says, because I am transcendental beyond the conditioned Brahman, beyond the liberated Brahman, and beyond the Paramatma, and beyond all the other incarnations, therefore I am celebrated as Purushottama, that person who is the highest, who goes the topmost, the Purushottama. Krishna likes this name very much, Purushottama. It indicates there is nothing higher than him. Because I am beyond the conditioned Brahman, the liberated Brahman, and the Paramatma, and all the different incarnations, therefore I am celebrated as Purushottama. Krishna likes that. So this is the Tin Sloki Gita. Anybody who knows this becomes wise, and his perfections know. He knows perfection, and he becomes very happy in this world. That's the end of the Gita, the 15th chapter. He becomes wise, he knows everything, and he attains all perfection in this world. You understand these aspects of Brahman. So anyway, it's knowledge. We have to have knowledge. So it's being spoken here for the queens, the lamenting queens. So when we get knowledge, we become free from lamentation. It takes us out of the anxiety. Krishna's kidnapped Rukmini, he was your wife, so that means he's our brother-in-law. And look what you've done. It's our own family members, and how you insulted him and you almost killed him, like chastised. But then he talks to Rukmini and he starts to give a philosophy. A little bit of philosophy. Then he goes back and chastises Krishna. Then he comes back and gives a bit more philosophy. So there's no need to be real anxiety, Rukmini, because it's going to happen. So if we have knowledge, Balaram tells that when we have knowledge in this life, then we can overcome all difficulties, all anxiety. She was in anxiety. Her brother was going to be killed by Krishna. He wanted to kill him. Naturally, she. But anyway, Balaram says, when we not have knowledge of the truth of life, actually you'll become happy. Without real knowledge, you will never be happy, because what you're faced with is old age, disease and death, rebirth, that's all. But with knowledge we understand, yes, not that the devotees are not growing old or becoming diseased or dying, but it's the last birth, it's the last death, it's the last old age, it's the last disease, because we go back to God. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki, Nitai Gopi Manandi. Hare Krishna. Any comment? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Guruji. Oh, yeah, I have one question. Even we desire for a special advancement, sometimes we see that is not fulfilled. Desire for something, a special desire, like, you know, make a special advancement, free from material desires. But it's not going to happen. Like, you know, I'm not seeing the immediate effects. Why?
You're not getting immediate results. We explained that comes on the platform when you're over the modes of material nature. But it will come in time. If you are sincere, it's not expected that just because I've got initiation, you know, now the forearms are going to come off and things like that. You have to be patient also. Enthusiastic and patience is there, Rupa Goswami says. But the idea is it will come. Prabhupada gives a nice example in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the process of creation. How sound becomes manifested in the universe. This is the first manifestation, is sound. And then from sound the ether is produced, and then the sense of hearing. And then, yeah, so then you gradually get the analytical breakdown, fire, air, water, earth, like that. It gradually becomes manifested. But it starts with a subtle sound vibration. So Prabhupada says, in that purport, that here it says sound is the original, the first element in the material universe. And so it's a subtle form of everything. Everything becomes manifested from that sound. Earth, water, fire, air, they all become manifested. But it started with a sound vibration. So Prabhupada said, just as all of our necessities of life are produced by a sound vibration, like we're in this world, we're acting, we need things, we have paraphernalia. But we understand the source of everything is a sound vibration. So everything that facility that we need in this world is manifested through a sound vibration. And Prabhupada says you should come convinced of this. That when that same sound vibration is purified by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, all of your spiritualities will be created. So you want realization of this. Some people want humility. Some people want... They're all good qualities that we want. Spiritual revelation. We want... Prabhupada said, once you become convinced, all of your necessities to go back to God, it will be created by that pure sound vibration. Because that's what creates everything material, all our material necessities. When that sound vibration is spiritualized by chanting Hare Krishna, that will create all of your spiritual necessities. In other words, whatever you need in your path back to God, it will be created by the spiritual sound vibration, Hare Krishna. And the spiritual world is made of Hare Krishna. So from here to there, it's just Hare Krishna. Everything is pure. All of your necessities, including the spiritual world, which is also produced from Hare Krishna, is all manifested. So it just depends on your sincerity in accepting this is the potency of the Holy Name. It's non-different than Krishna. He's quite capable of creating all of our necessities and desires. It just takes our to become sincere in establishing following the process that's been given by the acharyas. We don't have realization now, so therefore they've given us a process of Vedi Sadhana Bhakti, so we're obligated. If we have no spontaneous attraction for Krishna, then we're obligated to follow the Vedi Sadhana Bhakti. So it works, because it's given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's given by Rupa Goswami, it's given by the acharyas, it's given by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, if something is not working, it's not the system, it must be someone else. So if something's not working for you in Krishna consciousness, it must be due to you. It's not due to the system. The Holy Name is perfect, the acharyas are perfect, the process is perfect. If we're not getting that perfection, it's due to us, it's not due to anything else. Otherwise, why Mahaprabhu will come and give Rupa Goswami, why would they come and waste their time giving some imperfect process? But it depends on our sincerity in accepting and practicing the process. That will determine our speed that we get spiritual revelation. That determines the speed, your sincerity. So if you're greedy, you become very sincere. Hare Krishna.
In regard to the doer, Srila Prabhupada, we glorify Srila Prabhupada by his great accomplishments.
Glorify
Srila Prabhupada by his great accomplishments. And he also declared that it's because of my Guru Maharaj, following my Guru Maharaj orders, I'm able to do something. That's my credit. For the other hand, the Lord, the desire of the jiva is the one who is the trigger for all the activities. So the question will be, how is that a jiva can do something beyond what is Krishna expecting? Is that possible? Like Krishna has a plan. Srila Prabhupada manifests certain activities and great accomplishment because it was Krishna's plan. But for the other hand, he also did great effort. He put from his own a lot of effort. Is that a sign of something, that something goes beyond to please the Lord, and he is also allowing? I don't know if you can.
It went on a little bit too long. I couldn't quite. Did you get it, Prajanja? Can you make it into one sentence? Try.
Okay, one sentence. Is that Srila Prabhupada did a lot of effort to do whatever he did, the great accomplishments. So, is that was Krishna's plan? I mean, every single thing that was Krishna's plan, or he went even beyond that? Is that possible?
Was it Krishna's plan that Prabhupada accomplished? No, there is a plan. Priti Piti Chatavaka Nagaradi Gram Savatra Pachahoi Vimura. That's the plan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And many devotees come, they're empowered to help Mahaprabhu in his mission. So we had the Lord's plan there. Then some other devotees are empowered, just like Prabhupada was. When Prabhupada established the mission, he has rules and regulations to follow. They may be different from other sampradayas, rules and regulations, but what Prabhupada established was his own plan. After seeing the situation of Kali Yuga in the West and everything like that, Prabhupada established a plan according to the time and circumstance. And Krishna gives him power of attorney to make the program. We have the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, but it's Prabhupada's dream, it's manifestation of Prabhupada. Krishna gave him power of attorney to make it like that. Just like Prabhupada said, chant 64 rounds, devotees. 32. Okay, no, let's see. So he's establishing the rules for ISKCON. Krishna gave him that power. If you go to the Gaudiya Math, they'll say, chant 64 rounds a day. I don't know if they do that. But anyway, that was the standard for that sampradaya. So Krishna gave Bhakti Siddhanta certain potencies to, and power of attorney to do what he did in establishing the birthplace, etc. Prabhupada. So everybody gets, they can get the empowered. It's Krishna's program, and the ability to execute the order of the spiritual master is within the order. So You get an order from the spiritual master because it's coming from his mouth. It's very, very spiritually potent. So the order is coming. And with the order comes the ability for the devotee to manifest it. So it's not impossible. It may seem impossible. Prabhupada said it's impossible. I have an impossible task. But he did it. But anyway, even if he didn't do it, then Krishna would send someone else to do it later. Prabhupada said this temple of Vedic Land Temple is already existing. Bhaktivinoda Thakura saw it. It's the desire of Lord Chaitanya to reveal by Nityananda Prabhu. He said that temple is existing spiritually. You've got to go out and put the bricks and cement and everything. You'll get the credit. But if you don't do it, then someone else in the future will do it. And they'll get the credit. But better you get the credit. You do it, you get the credit. But it will happen because it's the desire of the Lord. But if you don't do it, then it will happen later. Someone else will do it. But it will happen. So Krishna's desire is there, and also the acharya's desire is also. And if he doesn't fulfill it, then it will happen by someone else. Someone else will fulfill it. Hare Krishna. Yes. Why is it important to Krishna that we have our free will? Yeah, because with your free will you can love Krishna. That is what he... Huh? Yeah, free will creates a problem because we often make the wrong choices, as we say. No, the idea is that if there is no free will, then we become... like rock, stone. So Krishna loves love best. So that's what Krishna wants from us. This is what pleases Krishna most. He wants our love. So if we are forced to love Krishna, if Krishna says, bow down to my feet and love me and otherwise I'll beat you, then that's not real love. But if you make the choice, the voluntary choice, to love Krishna, then that's real love. So it's free will, So you can use it as an expression to express your love. You can use it to express your love for Krishna. Yeah, otherwise we're all going to be like robots. We have no free will. That Krishna doesn't want. He wants loving devotion. This is what Krishna likes, loving devotion. So we can express that with our free will. Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you. Thank you. Mahaprasadi Koti. Come and get it right away.